Welcome to episode 166 of Behind the Mission, a show that sparks conversations with PsychArmor trusted partners and educational experts. My name is Dwayne France, and each week I'll be having conversations with podcast guests that will equip you with tools and resources to effectively engage with and support military service members, veterans, and their families. You can find the show on all the podcast players or by going to PsychArmor.org/podcast. Thanks again for joining us on Behind the Mission. Our work and mission are supported by generous partners who also believe that education changes lives. Our partner this week is the Michigan Governor's Challenge, working to prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families. On today's episode, I'm having a conversation with Navy veteran Erica Hoover, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Manager for the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and Air Force veteran Andrea Norton, Community Engagement and Partnership Coordinator with the Veterans Affairs Saginaw Healthcare System. Together, Erica and Andrea will talk about their experiences as both veterans and members of the LGBTQ+ community, as well as a public awareness campaign being developed in partnership with the Michigan Governor's Challenge to prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families. You can find more about Erica and Andrea by checking out their bio in our show notes. Let's get into my conversation with them and come back afterwards to talk about some key points. Andrea, Erica, thank you both for taking the time to chat today. And I'm glad to be kicking off this important series looking at the needs around supporting LGBTQ+ veterans. To start with, I'd like to give you both an opportunity to share a bit about yourselves, starting with Erica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm Erica Hoover. I am a Michigan veteran. I am the Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Manager at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. A little bit about me. I'm a Navy veteran. I served from 2009 to 13. So first 2 years of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then after. And really, this job is the reason why kind of all of this and the reasons why we want to uplift LGBTQ folks. But my experience in the Navy was pretty difficult being the only woman in my shop and then also having to be in the closet while I was serving in the military. As I came to Michigan and kind of evolved through my work serving veterans, I also met Andrea, who you'll hear from next. And she and I really, I think, worked through and with each other on really how to serve our population in Michigan. And so the pieces of me that I always hid while I was in the military are the pieces that through our friendship came out and the reasons why we're doing this work together and why this is so important.
Yeah, thank you, Erica. I'm Andrea Norton. I'm a community engagement and partnership coordinator at the Saginaw VA, and it's with the suicide prevention program. So that's also why this program or this initiative is so near and dear, because it is suicide prevention. And I came into this work and being an advocate for LGBTQ+ veterans because I am one. And I served during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but my service was during 98 to 2007. So the entire 8 years was during Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I joined a month out of high school. So it was during those formative years. And I think it's really hard to have to compartmentalize a big part of who you are. And there's a lot of grief that comes with that once you look back on your service and wonder what you would have been capable of had you not had to use the mental energy to compartmentalize aspects of your identity and watch over your shoulder and be careful and cognizant about what you say and who you say it to and just the toll that takes. And that was a big reason why I chose to get out of the military, because there was a lot of it that I did love, but it came at such a high cost. And it wasn't until meeting Erica and actually working on the She is a Veteran campaign that I realized I was still compartmentalizing my veteran identity. Like when I got out, instead of compartmentalizing my queer identity, then I just chose to compartmentalize my veteran identity to figure out who I was without the military. But it wasn't until really a lot of this advocacy work that you really get to merge those identities, stop compartmentalizing, and just really show up as your full self. That's really what I'm hoping happens with this project, is that more veterans really get encouraged to tell their stories and really help restore the dignity, honestly, that was taken from them.
Yes, absolutely. And that idea of the dignity that was taken from them, that very bold and accurate statement. And I'm hearing both of you saying that in different ways, you weren't allowed to be who you are. And even post-military, compartmentalizing that, Erica, you had mentioned that you very clearly delineate pre-repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And as and even at that point, I think I was a senior non-commissioned officer. And of course, knowing that LGBTQ plus veterans were serving, even as far back as when, as you mentioned, Andrea, I served in the early 90s. And I have a really good colleague who we all knew that he was part of the LGBTQ plus community. And it didn't matter to us because it took care of the mission. But that idea of don't ask, don't tell is so significant to members of the community. Whereas for me, it was not something, a delineation, because it didn't impact me personally. I recognize the privilege around that. But for LGBTQ plus veterans, and we're now a decade beyond the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but it's still a significant issue for the community.
Yeah, definitely. I think the piece of it for me is that while I was serving, and I neglected to mention this in the beginning, I was actually being out processed for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and it got repealed. I went all the way up the chain of my command, sat in front of the XO. They let me know how many benefits I would get based on the amount of service that I had already done. And I was preparing for my life outside of the Navy with an administrative discharge, basically, and a few benefits. And that's a lot less than I had intended on leaving the military with. And so when it was repealed, it was just kind of like no one ever talked about it to me ever again. And I just went along my way. Yeah. Ended up being wrench turner of the year in my squadron of 1,200 folks and just really excelling and doing a great job, regardless of who I was or who I loved or those pieces of me that I had to hide for so long. So it was very impactful, and it's taking me many years to kind of unravel that. And I think that's really the meat behind a lot of this work that we're doing. For me, it is.
I think that in sharing your stories, your personal stories, but also we all have unique stories, but we also have stories that are common. And I think that some of the stories that you're having are common about those who served. And even those who joined, who are of the LGBTQ plus community after Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there still really is some challenges there. So I'd like to hear a little bit about your hopes for this work that you're doing together. We'll talk a little bit about the goals here in a minute, but this project that you're partnering with PsychArmor with together is really to support both LGBTQ plus veterans and those that are serving.
I think that with this project, what I hope happens is that people do see, they see themselves in some of the stories, but then they also, like for those that are serving folks that are a part of the community, that they recognize that the veteran community and those who are serving are incredibly diverse, that people are coming into the service with multiple identities in ways that, you know, things that are salient to them. And it's everything, age, race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, all of the things. And it's the same in the veteran community. And just having the visibility and awareness, just even having something that is focused on this population because it is so underserved, I think it matters profoundly, because I've seen evidence of it. Because when I was in the visibility and awareness campaign that Erica had put together, the She Is a Veteran campaign, that was the first time I ever really publicly told my story about being a queer veteran. And the amount of feedback I got from that, it was so overwhelmingly positive, because it was the first time people heard that story. You hear a lot about different veteran experiences, but that was one that really hasn't been told very often. And so just having people come up to me and say, you telling your story encouraged me to tell mine, like that, to me, that is a huge impact. Somebody else seeing themselves and feeling seen. And that's what I hope to get, that we just really can educate the veteran service community that they need to recognize the diversity that exists and really meet the needs of all who served. And then also recognizing that in the LGBTQ community, that they have veterans and military connected folks in that community as well. And so recognizing that it's an identity. It's not just what you did. It's who you are, at least for a lot of veterans. And so really looking at that in an intersectional way, because a lot of those organizations, that's a part of their values, is to recognize that people are comprised of multiple identities. And this is also one that needs to be included in that, because it's access to care, it's benefits and resources, it's those quality of life resources that can change someone's life when they have access to them. And so just making sure that veterans, all veterans, are gaining access to what they have earned and what they're eligible for, that can save lives.
Yeah. And Andrea and I feel are really, we have become like a bridge in our communities, where we'll go and we'll speak and we'll talk about our experiences. And, you know, we're not like a broad brushing the LGBTQIA plus community by any means, but we're able to be that bridge for folks maybe that aren't a part of that community or aren't as educated or aware, or that maybe don't have the language for it in the veteran space. And we're a safe space. And so after we speak, people come up to us and be like, what does this mean? Or I have somebody that I've really needed to help and I don't really know where to turn. And I think that I can speak for both of us by saying we're really proud of that we can be that in Michigan and hopefully nationwide, and help other folks in their states also be more comfortable with who they are, how they serve others. And, you know, a big piece of this, of us coming together, is yes, to educate, and the public awareness campaign piece of it, of our veteran service community. So anyone can walk into a service office or, you know, a veteran serving organization and get treated with dignity and respect. And I think it comes with language, a lot of it. And so we've talked a lot about this, is that a lot of people are people and humans are humans. We all deserve to be treated with dignity, but language tends to be a barrier between the civilian population, the military population, LGBTQIA population, and those that don't identify within that population. And so, you know, we really just want to make people more comfortable in spaces is the goal of this.
And really meeting them where they're at and really helping to guide them. And if they can trust us, and that in an organization like PsychArmor as well has a great reputation and trust in these communities, if the messengers our trusted messengers, then I think it helps really tear down those walls, and people tend to be more open to learning.
And I appreciate what you said, Erica, about stepping into the gap, being that bridge, right? You know, so if you have a group of individuals, veterans over here, members of the LGBTQ plus community over here, it takes someone stepping into the gap between those and from either side to be able to do that. I can also imagine that in the LGBTQ plus community, and Andrea, you alluded to this, is in many ways you compartmentalize your veteran identity because that might not have been as welcomed or perceived to be potentially welcome within the LGBTQ plus community. And so trying to step into that and say, I am both on both sides.
Well, it's not even that I perceived it not being welcome. It's just that it didn't seem relevant. I didn't meet another veteran. I didn't hear anybody talking about those issues. I didn't hear. So it was really just about, this is an identity I did not get to develop and understand and really find a sense of community in. So now that I have an opportunity, this is where I want to put my energy towards. But I didn't, it was subconscious. I didn't realize really I was flat out denying my veteran identity. I was just tucking it away. It was just not. That was what I did. This is where I am now. This is what I'm doing. But I was suffering. Right. I really did not have a graceful transition out of the military. It was really challenging. And so I did find a sense of community in the LGBTQ community, but I didn't, I still wasn't showing up fully as my whole self in the same ways that I didn't when I was serving. And it was that recognition of that. And it was really connecting with another veteran that helped get me into care. And it was one of my professors. And so that one connection, though, like probably, I mean, I can't say probably, it did save my life. And it was really powerful. And so really that connecting with other veterans is also important. So if we can create a sense of community within the LGBTQIA plus veteran community, then that's also a part of this project. It's really helping them connect with each other too. And you do that by being able to identify as a veteran, being able to say, yes, I served and I'm a veteran. And maybe if that's not a label that you want to own because of a variety of reasons, you at least can recognize that, yes, I did serve and I can access the resources that are connected to that.
And I think one of the things here is, how do we make sure that happens more specifically rather than serendipitously? Like if you had signed up for another course, you might not have ever had that professor, right? You just happened to be in a course that, and that's how you connected. So how do we make this happen deliberately and not by happenstance? And that's, I think, really the goal of this public health campaign, is to be able to share a lot of that information.
Well, and also within suicide prevention, one of the big pushes, and one of the big pushes within LGBTQ advocacy work too, is getting more community spaces to screen for military connectedness. So asking the question, have you or a member of the of your family served? And then knowing what to how to direct that person to resources. Michigan does it really well. We have a resource health center with MBAA, with our state veteran agency, that can direct somebody calling from anywhere in the state to those community resources. So really educate, like I said, even in LGBTQIA spaces, making sure that if they do have an application or an intake form, does it have a best practice screening question on it? Do you actually screen for military connectedness? Because like I said, it is an identity as well as a title. So it's what you did, but it also is who you are. And so that can help guide people to resources and benefits. And that, like I said, that's a big suicide prevention priority area, is that screening.
And benefits that they may not know that they're eligible for. So I'd like to hear some of the goals. You've listed out a number of goals. We're going to be doing a series of shows here coming up over the next month or so. But you have a number of goals that you'd like to achieve with this awareness campaign. What can you tell us about some of those goals?
Yeah, so we've been talking a lot. We have PsychArmor has been an amazing partner, and we have some nationwide subject matter experts, folks that are live it, breathe it, are in it. And so they will have some podcasts coming up, some on our theme really is like past, present, and the future, kind of where it came from, the history of certain things, could be healthcare, don't ask, don't tell, present where we are right now and what we'd like to see in the future. We thought that was a really great theme, especially for educating and public awareness purposes, that the community. And those are the goals in this public awareness campaign right now. Eventually, we would love to have a series in the PsychArmor portal where you can go for training. There's trainings on what every veteran wants you to know, like 15 things. And the idea here is to gather and garner a lot of and get people engaged and wanting a little bit more, and then creating something that's tangible that people can watch and learn and train from and understand as they move through this serving veterans and the space. Obviously, not everybody's going to get, we just want folks to have the right language and education and awareness and understand the policies and things, and maybe why a veteran like myself maybe wouldn't feel super comfortable walking into a veteran service office. So there's a lot of little goals within that. As we tell our own stories, as we get brave and do that, I wouldn't be telling my story without Andrea, and Andrea wouldn't be telling her story without the campaign that I created at the agency. And so, you know, it's just kind of like a full circle, giving back. And Andrea, did you want to add more to that?
I just want to create and be a part of things that would have helped me when I first got out.
Yeah.
Truly. It's really, that's what motivates me and a lot of the advocacy work that I do in general, is what did I need then that what didn't exist? And so really increasing the visibility and awareness is a really big part of that. It's just making sure that when we're talking about veterans, we're not just talking about one type of veteran. One of the most powerful questions I ask in almost every single training presentation I ever give, and it's in the very beginning, usually the first thing I ask is, what does a veteran look like? Because when I pause and look around the room and I say very definitively, you probably have a middle-aged white Vietnam era veteran in your head. That is only one kind of veteran. It is incredibly diverse, and that diversity is a strength.
And I think that's something that I often express, that, and especially to perhaps veterans who, you know, or groups that are really thinking about that typical veteran, is if we say we care for veterans, then we care for all veterans, not a certain portion, a certain era, a certain type, a certain, like we, if we say we care for those who served our country, we care for all who served our country. And many people may think that may not include LGBTQ plus service members, but it has since the beginning of the military and before. It's just now there's, as you had mentioned, the bravery and the safe space to be able to come out and talk about the fact that LGBTQ plus veterans have been serving since the beginning, since the Revolutionary War, and they're continuing to serve today.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that 114,000 veterans have been discharged before Don't Ask, Don't Tell and during Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And we don't know how many more there were that were for nefarious reasons or those coded reasons that they couldn't explicitly lay out. And it's not that we're pushing people or we want veterans to go to VA. Andrea works for VA. I work for the state that tries to help connect veterans. All we want to do is let them know that those are options, that they have options. They're people and they deserve to have all of the options. And then they can choose for themselves what that looks like as well. So that's really, that's an important message. We're not pushing people to VA where they may feel uncomfortable, but we are advocating for folks like us at VA. We are advocating as high and as far as we can possibly go to make it a safe space and to have voices heard. So that's super, super important in this.
Absolutely. No, this is great. And I am looking forward to the rest of the series as we start to bring this out over the next couple of weeks. If folks wanted to find out more about the Michigan Veterans Affairs, or is there a website or any place that you can send them to?
Yeah, they can go to michigan.gov/MVAA. We have a website with our She is a Veteran campaign and all of our underserved veteran population resources available. You can also call 1-800-MICH-VET if you're a Michigan veteran and you want to get in touch with any local resource in the state of Michigan. You can get a hold of me there too.
And our state agency really is phenomenal in connecting veterans to a multitude of resources, whether it's federal, whether it's nonprofit, whether it's a peer support group, whatever the case may be, whatever that veteran or their family members might need based on where they're calling it in the local area, they can connect them to those resources. So that's, I can't say enough good things about our state agency. Been a great partner.
That's great. And I'll make sure to link to all of those are going to be in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I look forward to more conversations as we kick off the series.
Thank you so much, Dwayne.
Thank you for having us.
Once again, we would like to thank this week's partner, the Michigan Governor's Challenge, working to prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families. I'm glad to have been able to share this conversation with Erica and Andrea. Even more so as it's the beginning of a series of conversations that we're having to talk about some of the unique needs of LGBTQ plus veterans. As I mentioned, SciCarmer is partnering with the Michigan Governor's Challenge to prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families to create a public health awareness campaign to highlight the unique nature and needs of LGBTQ plus veterans. Interspersed among the next several episodes, I'm going to be having several conversations with some colleagues of Erica and Andrea, talking about some of the myths and misconceptions that some may have about the LGBTQ plus veteran community, and also some of the challenges and barriers that LGBTQ plus veterans face. As they mentioned in the episode, these barriers are real for many veterans in this community, and those barriers can be life-threatening. And again, if we, as a nation, are committed to supporting those who volunteer to put themselves in harm's way for the defense of our nation, for whatever reason they did so, then we need to be committed to supporting all veterans, regardless of their faith, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, socioeconomic background, or any other demographic that you might think of. Some might say, not in my military, but yes, LGBTQ plus service members were in your military. Not that it's any more your military than it was their military, or our nation's military. All who served deserve the respect, dignity, benefits, and resources that are accorded to that service. So together, let's learn, grow, and continue to support each other as we do. So I hope you appreciated my conversation with Erica and Andrea. If you did, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Drop a review in your podcast player of choice or send us an email at info@SciCarmer.org. For this week's SciCarmer Resource of the Week, I'd like to share one of our earliest episodes of the Behind the Mission podcast, episode 20 with Jennifer Dane, advocating for LGBTQ plus service members and veterans. In this episode, Jen talks about the Modern Military Association of America the nation's largest nonprofit organization working to advance fairness and equality for the LGBTQ+ military and veteran community. You can find a link to the episode in our show notes. So thanks again for taking the time to listen to this episode. Make sure to take a look at the show notes, which you can find in the podcast app as well as on the PsychArmor website at psycharmor.org/podcast. While you're there, you can find hundreds of online training videos delivered by nationally recognized subject matter experts who are all committed to educating the non-military community about military culture. All of these courses are free to individual learners. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't care, and it's that curiosity and passion for supporting service members, veterans, and their families that we want to encourage and increase. Come back each week for another conversation, and make sure to engage with PsychArmor on social media to let us know what you thought about the show. I'd like to express special thanks to Operation Encore and Navy Seahawk pilot Jerry Maniscalco for our theme song, Don't Kill the Messenger. This show was produced by Headspace and Timing, and all rights to the show remain reserved by PsychArmor. Much appreciation to the team at PsychArmor that makes this show happen. Carol Turner, Vice President of Strategic Communications, who keeps me on track and is an outstanding guest coordinator, and support and transcript by Emma Atherall. Feel free to share the show. In fact, we request that you do, but make sure to let folks know where you heard it. Join us next time for another great episode, and until then, stay aware, get educated, and be well.